Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You've heard us talk about U.S. elections, and I think you've gathered by now that American elections are more than just a domestic affair. They do hold significant global implications, reaching countries far beyond the U.S. borders, including South Africa. Earlier, I had a conversation with Pearl Matibe, who is a U.S. foreign policy and international policy analyst. And do mind that in terms of the background, it was rather noisy where she was, given the sentiment on the ground and a little bit of excitement with a little bit of anxiety filtering through. But we had a very interesting conversations around American elections as well as their potential impact on South Africa. Thank you so much for making time to chat to us. I mean, you're on that side. Take me through the sentiment on the ground. I mean, this is the day we've been waiting for.
Right. So the sentiments vary. There's a lot of anxiety, as you can imagine, depending on who the voters are supporting, which side. But there's also a lot of excitement and a lot of anticipation in terms of voters and then the various political parties. When you speak to security agencies like the FBI, they've got their own concerns. They're very worried about countries like China, Russia, and Iran interfering with the election results. They fear things like cyber attacks, and they've been talking to us about that over the last 24 hours about some of the concerns that they have. So depending on who you speak to, you're going to have different sentiments about how everybody is feeling about this election.
So let's pick up from that when it comes to the anxiety and the fear and the views expressed by the FBI. Have we seen this before where we've seen, you know, people try and, you know, interfere in the elections?
Well, certainly you recall that there was a lot of stories about how the United States had accused Russia of having interfered in a past election, right? So we had that incident. And then in the last election, if you recall, just before the inauguration on January 6th, we had had big protests in Washington where former President Trump refused to concede that he had lost the election, and then people stormed the Capitol. So there's concerns about what might happen this January 6th, 2025 coming up, and whether, for example, people that are working in the polling stations tonight, today and tonight, who will be opening the ballots and trying to count those ballots, you know, whether they might feel unsafe. If people start to think that there's no transparency, and if their people start thinking that maybe there's no fairness, or, you know, they think their party's going to win and their party's not winning. So what we've been seeing in some of the polling stations is that they've been actually been bulletproofing themselves, so that to start to prepare. Some states have even been preparing their National Guard troops to be on standby, just in case there are some kind of protests or some kind of anger about what that result might be. So you see this variation, okay, on the government level, FBI agencies, as a secure, you know, these cyber threats. We've seen it before, election interference. Then voters who might protest. And then election workers themselves, who themselves are feeling unsafe, that if people see that maybe they're not, votes are not being counted the way they might want, might they attack those polling stations. So these various different types of fears and anxieties across.
Right. So we've touched on the anxiety and the fears. Let's talk about the excited part of things. I mean, what's driving the excitement with some of the, you know, people on the ground?
Well, so you see the two presidential candidates certainly have been trying to use big influencer names. For example, with Kamala, we've been seeing Beyonce, Michelle Obama, former President Obama, and people coming out to their rallies, right, to try and help them drum up support. Even LeBron, he had tweeted out to try and help young black men to turn themselves out and come out and try to support her. On the Trump side, we've also seen big name celebrity names like Elon Musk, right, who's been offering $1 million checks to people who can pledge if they're in the swing states to say that they will vote for Trump. We've also seen actors like Dennis Quaid. He came National Republican Convention where he was nominated. We've seen Hulk Hogan, the big wrestler, come out in support of Trump. And then there's music, you've seen music, how music has played a factor. Beyonce's song Freedom is always played at every single one of Kamala Harris's rallies. And on Trump's side, we hear songs by Dolly Parton and other musicians. So you find this influencer sort of element, which is their campaigns are trying to get people to come and be supportive of who they, you know, who they normally follow, you know?
Having followed the, you know, campaign trails for both candidates, are you getting a clearer picture in terms of where they stand on economic policy, on foreign policy? Whose message is becoming a little bit louder, or let's put it this way, becoming a lot more clearer on detail?
Okay, so neither candidate has been as clear as what we have historically seen in elections about exactly the things that they're saying that they're going to achieve, explaining to voters how are they actually going to achieve it. But the, when, the, you know, campaigns are always sometimes about rhetoric, right? So people that are listening to Kamala Harris and hearing her talk about issues on abortion, she's leading in on abortion over the last day or so by about 20 points. Excuse me. But President Trump, people seem to trust him on issues of inflation and the economy. On immigration, he's leading, he was leading last night over Kamala Harris by more than 25 points. So if we see him winning in states like Nevada, Arizona, which are close to the southern border of the United States, those might be big wins for President Trump. But either one of those two candidates right now is hoping that they're going to win Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is important because people in Pennsylvania have really been feeling the pinch in terms of economics, and there's also a big Jewish community. There's a lot of Puerto Ricans there who might come out in support of Kamala Harris. On the other hand, if you compare, for example, with Michigan, Michigan has got a big Arab American population, and they might come out and decide to protest and vote for Trump because they don't like what Biden and Kamala Harris have done in the war in Gaza, for example. So, you know, to them, they might be thinking, okay, well, when President Trump was in office, we didn't have these wars. And to them, they might say, okay, well, you know, it's not a case that they support Trump, but to them, seeing the war end in Gaza, it means voting for Trump. So it's going to be very interesting to see today. It's going to be a long day. The last, one of the last polls that's going to close will be in Nevada around 10 o'clock. The first polls, like in Indiana, Kentucky, they start closing around 6 o'clock. So we're still about maybe 10 hours or so before the first or second polls start to close. So over to you. That's, that kind of gives you a little bit of a flavor of what's happening in terms of issues and where we might see these two candidates pull ahead in order to reach to that big number, 270 electoral votes first. Is going to be the next president, but it's going to be a long night. We may not know anything until even in the past midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Or if they're tied, we may not know anything for a week, or we may not even know anything for a month. You know, but if they decide to say, okay, we're going to dispute the results and they go to legal battles, everything has to be decided by December 16th. So December 16th has to be like the cutoff date when absolutely, no matter which way things have gone, battles have to be completed, and then we should know who will be the next president. Back to you.
To what extent were issues around, you know, the war in Ukraine, the war in Gaza, influence the campaign trail when you look at foreign policy versus domestic issues?
Well, so President Trump has been promising that he would end these wars quickly. He hasn't really explained how he would do it, but I think that the Arab American community, particularly those that live in Michigan, seem to be believing President Trump. So, you know, that is one of the concerns that we have. Where people feel on these issues, and people like who are blue in states that are like where blue collar jobs are, they want President Trump to focus on America first, take care of, you know, bread and butter issues like, can they buy eggs, can they put fuel in their car, can they buy groceries at still the same rates? And they believe by a much, much bigger margin that President Trump did a better job with the economy. So we'll have to just wait and see how things end up panning out by the end of the night.
Right. When you look at, I think the one thing I've learned about sort of U.S. Election system is that there's a difference between a candidate winning and actually having control of Congress. How closely are you watching developments on that front around, you know, how many seats one gets in the House or the Senate?
Actually, I was taking a look at that, my last numbers, just in the last few hours. So in the Senate, we have at least two Republican seats, which we think maybe if they go for Trump, then in the Senate, for example, then President Trump could very easily end up on the Republican side controlling the Senate. But on the House side of things, it could be that no matter who becomes president, the people who are doing the polls are forecasting that Republicans may likely end up controlling the Senate. So, in terms of the House, let's just say we get to a situation where these two candidates become tied, so neither of them end up getting to 270, right? What will end up happening is that the House of Representatives are the ones who are going to have to end up voting who will become the next president. And the Senate would have to end up voting on who would be that person's vice president. So there's an equal chance here that neither of these two candidates will get to 270. It's really going to be a race about the number. Back to you.
Yeah, depending on where things go when it comes to either, you know, foreign policy and the influence on trade relations, etc., and depending on who wins, do you expect to see global alliances start to form and economic partnerships? And if so, where does it leave, you know, South Africa and emerging market countries?
I don't think South Africa really needs to worry that much about particularly, U.S. companies that invest in South Africa. The U.S. economy has been doing very, very well. In fact, it's been facing better. The stock market has been really, really high. So in terms of this election, I don't think we have that much of a concern. The United States government does have a huge amount of investment, particularly in South Africa. So I think on that front, the South Africans should not have anything to worry about. In terms of U.S. foreign policy that the United States will put forward, where will be the next president? U.S. policy towards Africa stays pretty much, doesn't change all that much. What we can expect to see, though, is if President Trump does get elected, we may see a slight decline in the amount of engagement because his approach is more of an American-first approach, whereas Kamala Harris may tend to do more with Africa. I think that's what we'll see marked change. But if they have a strong Assistant Secretary of State in the State Department, then you will see a lot of engagement between the United States and Africa. But I think right now we're just going to have to wait. It's going to be a really long night. And then maybe we can pace and I can give you more updates later.
Paul, thank you so much for making time to chat to us. And we look forward to catching up with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.